Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
We often like to joke that when the government shuts down, nobody seems to notice any difference. Well, apparently the government didn't seem to notice any difference with its spending habits either. In fact, it spent a record amount of $16.6 billion for that day in January, even though the government was shut down.
And so does that mean that the day in particular is a record for all of time, or only a record for the times when the government was shut down? Just curious as to which record was being
more
set.
In constant inflation-adjusted dollars than the federal government has spent before on the fourth Monday in January ever.
Wow. All right. So a record high.
That's really good reporting, because I really didn't expect the reporter to pull that off. I mean, generally when you get a story like this, it's you just don't get the it's not as fact based as it could be.
Let's give credit where credit's due. Who is the reporter and what is the source?
The reporter is Terrence P. Jeffrey, and the website is cnsnews.com.
Okay,
applause and
very good.
To them.
So there you go. And that bears out what Daryl Perry said to us at the end of last week. So when when this was beginning, I think it was Friday when the shutdown kind of got started, late midnight or something like that on Friday. And so that on that episode, we were talking about these government shutdowns or these threats of government shutdown. And Daryl said every time they end up spending more money, a couple in, I guess it's Texas? Paris, Texas? Is that right? No, former Texas neighbors. Anyway.
Paris, California.
Paris, California.
With the people with the 13 kids?
Yeah, apparently they are accused of starving and torturing their 13 children. And this story has come out. But, Mark, there's a related piece about this. The parents, by the way, are facing life in prison.
Another one of these shocking stories. I mean, I think people... They just love these stories where, you know, terrible things are going on that could be in your neighborhood.
But what did they actually call this starving and torturing their kids? Were they spanking them, or were they actually really?
I haven't dug into the story.
Let me give you
thoroughly.
Let me give you a brief summary here of the piece.
Okay.
And then Mark, you have a story about the California School Board of some sort. That wants to have the school system come in on parents who homeschool their children, because apparently these kids were homeschooled. The Paris couple, according to DesertSun.com, who's been accused of starving and torturing their 13 children, dreamed of becoming household names through a reality show that focused on a large picturesque family, according to a relative who says he spoke with the couple as recently as a month ago. The couple in this case, Louise and David Turpin, ages 49 and 56 respectively, are now facing accusations of committing sadistic crimes, facing life in prison. And apparently, according to at least one family member, Louise, the mom in this case, she really wanted to be on television. She wanted to have a reality show about her and her children, where apparently they taunted their children with food as they were chained to beds, some of them, in what was described as a filthy home. Court documents show the Turpins had also given all of their children names that begin with the letter J, just like a large family featured in a different reality show, 19 Kids and Counting. Quote, I believe my sister wanted a reality show because the very last conversation that I had with her before all this happened, she did actually say that she feels they would be perfect for TV at one point, he said, according to Inside Edition. Robinette said Louise explained that she had started using her older kids to take care of her younger children, leaving her and David free to make up for lost time and sow their, quote, wild oats, unquote. Louise also described how she and David had met a man online and arranged a hotel rendezvous with him in Alabama.
Oh, my. So, I mean, taking older siblings taking care of younger siblings, nothing unusual or new there. But, I mean, obviously being chained to the bed, yep, pretty weird stuff.
What makes it even worse and weirder, her sister said, is that exactly 1 year to the date of the anniversary that she did that, she called me and thought it was funny that David was taking her back to the exact same hotel room, the exact same bed that she slept in with this man in, so David could sleep with her in the same bed. said Robinette in the interview. She then broke down crying while describing how a male relative had abused her and several members of her family, including Louise, which she says was a dark family secret. The Turpin's captive children were discovered mid-January this year after a 17-year-old girl escaped the home through a window and then called for help. Police rushed to the house, rescuing 12 other siblings between ages 2 and 29.
In the land of make-believe, let's just pretend that we're in a land where there is no government and there's no whatever, and there's no police that you can call. And this situation had happened, and so the little girl ran out, ran to the next door neighbor, and you know, complained about the situation. What would happen in this make-believe land? Would,
good question.
Neighbor call the militia?
Keep in mind,
would the neighbor have to pay for that, or how would that work?
Keep in mind that these people were already living in California, which is one of the most draconian states in the United States already.
We're talking about make-believe land here.
Okay, so it's fine that you don't want to talk about the failures of the state as it currently exists. But in make-believe land...
That's a good question.
I never purport a world without government. I purport a world without a monopolistic government. So one would presume that you would get the same customer service or better from the state as from the government that you currently get, if governments could then compete.
That's not a good answer. We're talking about this family has relatives. Where were the relatives in this? Were they aware that the kids were being treated this way?
I think that this is a tough issue when you're talking about how do we handle a situation of abuse inside a private home in a society where there isn't a monopoly on violence, which is the government that we have today. I think that ultimately...
Exactly.
When people are asking for the child protective services or the police to go into a home because they believe there's something going on there, they think that that's going to overall be a good thing. Now, certainly we've seen so many different examples of child protective services actually taking kids from maybe a not so bad or bad situation and putting them into a worse situation in foster care.
Like
so we can give examples of just how bad and how many failures the current one size fits all system has, but that still doesn't answer the question that he had of how would this be dealt with or how could this be dealt with in a situation where there is no monopoly government. I'm sorry?
My question is just speculative. You know, there's not a right or wrong answer.
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk a little further on, kind of give my answer to this.
Ian has the answer, God's sake.
I don't have the answer. I just wanted to give a response. You guys did,
My response was unsatisfactory. I recall you saying that.
Yeah, it was unsatisfactory. You basically dodged the question.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You didn't give an answer that was in any way what he actually asked the question about.
People
which was what
with
would
guns,
happen.
Like they did, yeah. would go into the home, yeah. like they did, and get the kids out, like they
okay.
did,
yeah, but,
and the
but
parents
what you said
would be held responsible,
was you thought the
like
child
did,
would be
were.
Able to go and just open the door to their own home and let other people in. One of the important points that I wanted to make sure we talked about was that in the marketplace— where there would still be a need for somebody with a gun or a group of people with guns to go in and take kids from abusive parents, the difference between here now with a violent monopoly and the sort of future that we might possibly see if we, see this vision come to reality, is those people who take actions like this would be liable for their actions. Today, if the police screw it up, and they go into the wrong house, on a drug raid, for instance, where they get the wrong address and they terrorize a family, hold an old 90-year-old woman at gunpoint, or shoot her to death as they did in Atlanta several years ago. They kill some innocent person because they got the house number wrong, or they got the right house number but the wrong street, or whatever.
There are tens of thousands of raids in the United States per year.
And some liability
of them are bound
to be wrong. So screwed up that a criminal can sue you for him tripping on a ladder trying to break into your house.
That's true. That's a different situation. But with the police, they're basically immune from any liability. They can botch it up as bad as they can botch it up. Kill innocent people. Burn a house down. Throw a grenade in a baby's crib. And almost none of those times will the police actually have to even say they're sorry, let alone face any kind of consequence.
Let's say I'm in charge of one of the agencies of gun-toting people, right?
In a voluntary society.
In a voluntary society. Okay. We'll call it a security firm.
Yeah.
And my security firm gets this bedraggled, thin, young lady who comes in. How old was she? 18?
17.
17 years old. She says, My parents are holding all my siblings. I've got 12 siblings. They're being chained to the beds. Yep. We're not getting fed anything. Blah, blah, blah. Like all the lists of this, the stories of the, in this story here in Paris, California, of this family that had the 13 kids that was starving them and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And upon that, I say, okay, let me get this straight. You've got 12 siblings. They're in a home. Your parents, you know, are have them chained to the bed. Your father has a haircut that is a crime against humanity. And, you know, all these things. Like, I get it all written down on a piece of paper. I, you know, video, audio record her, you know, saying, yes, yes. I have her sign that piece of paper saying that that is what is occurring and that she is going to go with me and a few guys to this place. We're going to knock on the door, and we're going to go in, and we're going to find out what's going on in that house. No matter what someone says at that door, she testifies it is her home, and that she has the ability to let me in.
One thing that, that has been overlooked is the fact that the parents wanted their kids to be in a reality show.
That's the claim.
Right, and this now, would have been the strangest reality show
here's
ever.
Here's the thing, is even though they've been keeping these kids locked up for all these years— and even if the daughter had not escaped, the moment they showed their kids
to the reality series,
you can bet something would happen.
Right.
You know? So, you know, the idea that this would just go on and people would get away with this, there's always going to be some circumstances where people are going to get tripped up. And
sure,
there will
but
be.
Mike. One of these people was 29 years old
I know,
in captivity.
And it's
I mean,
really terrible.
They basically got away with it for 29 years in this particular. I mean, who knows when the abuse started of the 29-year-old? But
this is only this is only an amplification of the sort of you know, in many cases, sheltering that goes on in homes all across America. Think about it for a second. They're chained to their bed. What's the difference between chaining somebody to their bed and grounding them to their room? Just the territory in which they can move.
Not letting your kid play out in the yard or down the street at the playground bike around with your kids in the neighborhood. Stuff that we all did when we were kids is now seen as strange in many communities around the country.
You're saying it's strange to allow your kids to go out and play?
Yes, yeah. Yep. It's when we abdicate our responsibility to each other as neighbors that this sort of thing, in my opinion, is actually more likely to happen.
I think that's true. Yeah, absolutely. When people don't pay attention at all to what's going on around them or purposely ignore signs of
abuse. Or they believe
the
government is going to take care of them and find these things and stop them, then they don't feel like they have a responsibility
to do it themselves.
Yeah. I'd also point out that these people went on vacation to Las Vegas and renewed their vows, and all the kids were in the wedding.
Really?
Yep. There's several instances. They went to Disney World, took all the kids to Disney World. They went off to Alabama to have some kind of menage a trois at one point. So they're not there all the time with the kids chained to the bed. Somebody else is implicated in this.
I never
got to go to Disney
World when I was a kid.
Well, abuse.
I must have been abused.
So you're saying the older children were abused when they were growing up, and then they assisted in the abuse.
They probably didn't know any better.
Right.
And this is just how a family goes, perhaps.
For them.
Right. So, you know, if you never leave your house, there's, you know, people can, your parents can tell you all kinds of things about how the world goes.
One of the allegations about this couple is that they homeschooled their children. Now, whether there was actually any meaningful education.
I think that's one of the more likely allegations.
Yeah. Whether there was actually any meaningful education going on within this home, besides how to starve your brothers and sisters and torture them.
And they had to recite Bible verses in length.
Really?
Yeah. This is a pretty common thing. I had to remember all of Luke 2, for instance.
Can you recite some of it right now?
And it came that time in that land where, I don't know, Herod did some... Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. Something about, you know, the holy hosts.
You get
around
pinched
them.
If you do it wrong.
Yeah, apparently that didn't work very well.
Well, I mean, I was
retaining the memory.
Kindergarten, I mean, through second grade every year, we'd around Christmas time, we'd have to do Luke 2. And... you know, what do I care? I've tried to repress
now
all that crap.
You went to school.
Anyway.
You went to a school,
Brayden,
right?
A Christian school,
Okay.
And, but this is commonly done. As a matter of fact, in Islam, they have young people and adults memorize the entire Quran.
It was more, I think, common in the past, but yes, that has happened.
It's happening.
And madrasas all over the world, that's pretty common. That's really, for a lot of them, the only book they ever read in their lives.
This is a press release I got from this Jose Medina, Democrat, Riverside, from California, trumpeting his solutions. Okay. So Assemblymember Jose Medina released the following statement in reaction to the finding of homeschooled children held captive by their parents in Assembly District 61. I was very disturbed to learn about the horrific violence that has taken place in our community, and I'm thankful that these children are now in safety. I'm extremely concerned about the lack of oversight the state of California currently has in monitoring private and home schools.
Now let's clarify. California is one of the worst states, from what we've read on the air over the years here on Free Talk Live, is one of the most invasive states as far as homeschooling, you know, demanding to know what the curriculum is, what are you teaching your kids.
So why didn't they know about the torture curriculum in this family?
Right. And the other thing, so because they're so invasive, what about, you know, this guy's going to propose some new level of invasiveness, which I'm sure we're about to hear about. If the government doesn't know the kids exist in the first place because they never leave the house and the parents have never reported the fact that they have kids to the government school system, how is whatever they're going to propose going to be effective? Is Assemblyman the same thing as a state legislator? Or is this like, okay, so it's not like the Los Angeles County
Right, a state assembly is like the state legislature, okay. State House of Representatives.
Jose Medina, Democrat, Riverside.
And he's got a proposal to, mandate that people... I don't know if we've gotten to the specifics.
Right. He says, just going on here, says, I've been in conversation with the Riverside County Office of Education, which agrees that we need to do more to protect our students and validate that they are in safe learning environments. I'm looking into introducing a bill this year that would provide a legislative solution and prevent a situation like this from occurring in the future. So he's already mentioned specifically private and home schools. He's just going to put in a piece of legislation that says essentially the California state school bureaucracy is now in charge of every school to some level or another.
Every homeschool.
And homeschool. Well, homeschool is a school.
If that's actually going to be fair, don't they have to hold all the public schools responsible for all the bullying that goes on in them?
I think that
there's a government agent, so they're immune from responsibility.
Yeah, the best thing about this is the funniest part about this is the, when you take into consideration that in government schools, 20% of graduates are functionally illiterate. What this Nimrod, this nincompoop, this malcontent,
this public school graduate
is suggesting is that we take the least successful educational organization in the state and put it in charge of the most successful educational system in the state. Look, I'm not against teachers. I'm not against education. I'm not against any of those things. But, everybody would agree the teachers' union has a stranglehold on government schools in this country.
Yeah, and they don't like homeschool because that's competition that they can't control.
Every time you talk about putting together some system, some other solution that doesn't go through sort of, go to the school board and argue for 10 years, never see any kind of solution.
By that time, your kids are out of school.
And every level of government has laws against bureaucrats lobbying for laws in various areas. But whenever there is a budget issue for the schools, the teachers automatically turn their students into little lobbyists peppering mom and dad. And that's perfectly okay to happen.
We are working, by the way, behind the scenes on Twitch to get the possibility of game streaming. So, Johnny Ray comes in here on Sunday nights and he's been talking to us for years about all the games that he plays. Well, I asked Johnny Ray if he'd be willing to actually play a game on our Twitch stream. So at some point, I think that's going to happen. I got the video capture card set up over the weekend for that purpose.
So if this becomes an esports channel, does that mean I become an athlete?
This whole esports
thing. I'm afraid that's a downright lie.
I was actually reading. I'm glad you brought that up, though, because I was reading an article yesterday. It was just too long for on air, but it was interesting. It was about this esports phenomenon, which I am completely... I grew up on video games. I like gaming. I just don't spend a lot of time on it these days. And I'm disconnected enough from it to where I don't realize just how big this esports thing is. Apparently, it's very, very popular.
It's huge.
Have you ever seen any of this stuff?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, there's guys that are just playing these combat games, all mm-hmm. kinds of games, and they'll have teams frequently, and you hear them talking with their buddies and the tactics and everything.
Professional level athletes are where they are because, you know, they got lucky as far as the genetic lottery goes in many cases.
Well, and practice.
And hand-eye coordination is an athletic ability.
Sure. You got to be able to catch that football.
Yeah. You know, age and genetics preclude me from being a world-class athlete of basically any sort. Maybe curling. But, I mean, you know, that's it. There's no going back. There's no practice isn't going to make me be able to throw a football accurately at 45 yards. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So these guys that are playing these esports games, I think that they probably have, you know, a few more midichlorians or, you know, synapses or something going on. They're able to process just a little faster than the average person.
As somebody who actually likes video games and has watched people play them on the internet, like on YouTube with the React channel or on Twitch, you know, watching people play games, I realize why that is such a big phenomenon, because, you know, there's nothing wrong with watching somebody else play. You don't have to invest your own time and your own money into the game. You can sort of learn whether you like a game.
Yeah, I see it from that standpoint, sure.
There's a lot of reasons why people watch. Some people watch for the reactions of the gamer, like maybe the person that's playing.
And some of them are entertaining individuals.
That's what I mean. Their reactions of the gamer is entertaining.
I first came across this phenomenon when, just for some reason, a few years ago, I got invited to watch some live streaming by actress Adrienne Curry, and I don't recall what the heck this actress has any particular notoriety for, but she was complaining about her boyfriend who works all day as an esports athlete. Did you have a sit-down protest in the tennis court?
In the tennis? That's a good idea.
Do you play tennis?
No, I don't play tennis. Okay. And the thing is, they made me
well, that's good. That means he was standing up for the rights of the people who do play tennis in that particular case. But what did you do exactly? I mean, I like Mike's idea.
Really,
it's the
taxpayers that got bilked here. And, you know, do the students really need another tennis court?
Well, they most built of the time, a damn court.
Blow it up. You know, take chunks out and send it to each taxpayer.
Violence isn't the solution. But
I will have to say that the tennis courts at my school are used for parking the school buses. So maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Worse. I got an even
that's
worse
a practical use of a tennis court.
Well, I got one even worse than that. You know, now this whole deal cross country, the way they do the school taxes. You see, that school where I have my residence. The fact is, it started there. The fact is, they found a hole. The school district, because the state runs a damn school district. They found a in the write-up and took it away from the damn township for several
years. What
did they
take away?
The taxes. They actually took the damn taxes from the township. It was wrote up in the paper.
Wait, when you say they took the taxes away, does that mean that the people of that township didn't have to pay taxes?
No, the school now controlled the taxes for several years. You had to send your checks to Philadelphia. They want all the money, too, right up front.
That sounds really crazy. We were talking about the return of net neutrality, but not in the same form as it previously was. It used to be a nationwide policy that was implemented by the FCC. They, this year, the new FCC, repealed the previous FCC's policy. And there, of course, was all this hubbub about how the internet is, you know, going to die.
Note,
or
there
whatever.
Had never been any congressional authorization for net neutrality. It was just something that
the FCC did.
That the FCC did under Obama, and they didn't have any legislative imprimatur to impose it.
Nor do they have that in Montana, where the governor has signed a executive order. So once again, bypassing any kind of legislative process.
Another Democratic governor being quite undemocratic.
Right, and claiming that he is somehow supporting a free and open internet. Now, this, you know, I think it does behoove us to discuss what net neutrality supposedly was or is, and that is the idea that the government should somehow level the playing field in the unfair playing field that it created in the first place by restricting competition in the market. But regardless, to level the playing field by forcing all internet service providers to treat all packets equally through their system.
And here's a very good analogy to explain, the, in a critical manner, what net neutrality is about. Net neutrality means that your kids' cat memes getting sent across the internet are supposed to be legally treated as important as the emergency lung x-rays of your grandma at the emergency room.
I never had a problem streaming video from any site from which I've streamed, and there was no big call out for, you know, oh my God, we need the government.
I always
to protect
had
us.
Lots of problems, but that was because I was cheap on what kind of video cards I bought.
But that doesn't have anything to do with the
Absolutely.
Internet delivery. So, yeah, I mean, they're just. I never really understood what the impetus was for this beyond just fear. It was always just the fear that something might happen.
Oh, yes.
And then every now and then they could point to some example.
Those evil little corporations.
Yeah, some obscure example that they said was proof that, you know, these companies were going to lock down the internet. If we just wait long enough, they're going to completely slow down everything except for people who pay through the nose. And it just never has happened.
Yet under net neutrality, the internet has become quite unneutral in its political biases and how it treats users, who, in terms of people using services like Twitter, like Facebook, who have been penalized and even banned for the words they use or mm-hmm. the ideas they express, which is supposed to be completely impossible.
Well, I don't think that had anything to do with net neutrality.
Well, they claim that that was one of the purposes of net neutrality, but it turned out to, you know, be not the case. You have this hybrid situation where people have easy access to these networks. It's not like there's a really high barrier to entry.
I just created a Derek J's victimless crime spree Twitter last night.
There you go. So it's really not that much harder than like opening the door and walking into a restaurant and having a right to be served.
Sure, it's open to the public, but it's not public property, meaning that it's not owned by public goods.
And in our current society, we have laws called public accommodations laws.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
Derek,
Dan,
you want to go on? What, you want to say something?
Yeah, I had another quick point to make.
Night of the bad phones here on Free Talk Live. I don't know if you're in a bad cell. Try again.
So what I wanted to talk about essentially was that, you know, I think there might even be a decent case for declaring things like Google and Facebook to be monopolies. Because, I mean, I looked at some of the statistics for how much traffic they net in together, and in some, like, places, those two websites are making up, like, 80% of all the traffic that's going through it all.
The spider engine that Google developed, actually, when they developed it, it was illegal for it to operate the way it did. Because it was, that was the law. You couldn't go out and grab copies of everything that was out on the internet. And the government came to the Brin brothers and said, you got to stop this stuff. We're going to give you all this data anyways. And that was the beginning of the relationship between Google and
Why is it illegal to spider websites? And
Partly because of the amount of traffic over the internet that it generates.
You're saying it was illegal, but no longer is?
It may still be illegal, but Google has some special relationship with the federal government. And I was talking with some people at the Bitcoin conference who are in the know in the cryptographic community. Who were telling me about the features, and I was unfortunately a little too drunk to remember all
what
the details.
What about archive.org that's been grabbing websites for more than a decade, 20 years or something like
they
that?
They tend to grab it once, whereas...
No, they don't. They come back.
They come back every several months. Okay, Google doing it every time you did a search. It would go out, boom.
Really?
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.